We're going? All right. Now, we're going to continue. Let's review for a little bit for some of y'all that were not here last week. Let me tell you a little tidbit in regard to our sermon audio. The most listened to sermon on our sermon audio has been the cult series. Have been the number one listened to. And so far, the number one of them all was the one on Hinduism. It has been downloaded, I think, over 300 times. So I get a number at the end of each month telling me how many, what sermon has been downloaded and how many times. California has been the number one state of people listening to our sermons on sermon audio. The state of California. It is. State of California. And outside of the U.S., England has been the number two country outside of the United States that people have been listening to our my sermons. So it's really, really wild, isn't it? Yeah. So we talked last week of how Mormonism is perhaps and the fastest growing, most successful cult in the U.S. and perhaps the world. Officially known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, increasing at a rate of 300,000 converts a year. 75% of them are Protestants, coming from Protestant churches, and the number one Protestant church is the Southern Baptist Church. Number four, membership numbers. We talked about that last week. We won't go back because of time. They strongly insist that they are not a cult because they claim to be Christians because they say we believe in the Trinity and we also believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe, they say, we believe in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ just like you believe in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So where do they differ? Yeah, when Christ came into existence. And we'll get into that probably next Wednesday is when we will get into that one. So here's two major areas of disagreement that we have with them. What is Scripture? And that's what we're going to get into tonight. And then who or what is God? There we have some examples of two Mormon temples and then a Mormon house of worship is right underneath there. Now, if you'll take a left out of here, go down about a quarter of a mile, you'll see a Mormon. Well, it all depends on which way you're going. I'll be going, yeah. So anyway, that way. It is on the left. That is a Mormon house of worship. Anybody can go to a Mormon house of worship. You can walk in and say, hey, I want to be a part of your worship today. Hey, welcome aboard. But you cannot go into a Mormon temple unless you are a baptized member of the Mormon church. I know, you scan it. Yeah, that's like a BJ's card. Yeah. So famous Mormons, Danny Ainge, general manager of the Celtics, Thurl Bailey, played for NC State, Johnny Miller, professional golfer, probably the most famous of all the athletes. Is Jack Nicklaus, professional golfer. Senator Orrin Hatch, Representative Congresswoman Mia Love, Mitt Romney, which I think everyone knew that, Steve Young, who his great-great-grandfather was Brigham Young, Franklin Covey, and then Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck says, I am a Mormon Christian because, once again, as I said in the introduction, I believe Jesus like you believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And then Marriott, J.W. Marriott, the founder of Marriott Hotel Chain. Now, once again, as I asked last week, are any of these people on here, would you consider them to be cuckoo? No. Would you consider them to be nutcases? No, they're very bright. They're very intelligent. Many, many Mormons are wealthy businessmen. They are doctors. My dentist is a Mormon. He is a Mormon. He told me his title. But there's the Mormon elder, and then there's the next step, and then there's the prophet. He is halfway in between the elder and the prophet. He is the lead dude for all of Southeast North Carolina. He is the head guy. So, you know, they're very smart. They're very intellectual people. So we talked about the beginning of Mormonism. I tell you what, Mormon. Let me see. We talked about all of this. Can you go to the slides? Can you jump it up a slide for me? Wait a minute. I'll just keep clicking and I'll end up where I want to be. All right. This is where we finished up last week, talking about the revelations of Joseph Smith. The Godhead, the origin and destiny of the human race, the eternal progression. What did he mean by eternal progression? What did he mean by that? Eternal progression of a human being.
You're not dead when you die. You turn into something. You're going
to... Like reincarnation? Not quite reincarnation. No. You still stay the same person.
More like a promotion. You get more and more...
Yeah. Keep going. Keep going. Till you become what?
Till you become a god.
Okay, till you become a god. Polygamy. I think we all know what polygamy is. You got more than one wife. I think somebody mentioned you don't see wives with more husbands. Yeah, it's the men with all the wives. Well, no, you're not, because y'all fall for it. You know, y'all fall for it. You know? And then the sacred temple ordinances. 1844, Joseph Smith was attacked by a mob, died in a gunfight. So now, according to the Mormons, he died a martyr's death. And I submit to you that if he would have been left alone, it would have died. The religion would have died. But since he died the death that he did, it caused it to become more and more popular. And then we got Brigham Young come along. They, a large group migrated to Utah, the other group to Independence, Missouri. Polygamy was well received, which is the main reason why Utah was rejected of statehood for 13 times. And then they made it illegal, and then they were admitted into the Union. They based their Christian definition upon five works of Scripture. The Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants. I started reading that thing the other day, Mike. It is the most tedious. I thought the Quran was tedious reading. It's free online. It is the most tedious, you know. You have the Doctrine. It's free online. You just go to the Mormon.org and upload it. You made a comment last week about how the Book of Mormon sounds much like the King James. There is one whole Book of Mormon that is word for word verbatim out of the King James Bible. Word for, I believe it is the Book of Elijah that is in the Book of Mormon. But he changes the title of the book. Yeah. It is. It's. I know. And I skipped up to the baptism of the dead. That's what I wanted to. And then it got, oh my soul, really? The Pearl of Great Price. And now we're going to get into, is the Book of Mormon correct? So here's question number two. Is the Book of Mormon correct? Is the Book of Mormon correct? What's that? What's that?
One book out of the
year. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. So, in the Book of Mormon, so where you see B-O-M, we're talking about the Book of Mormon. It details the history of two great civilizations. The Jaredites, and then the Nephites, and the Lamanites. How many of you have ever heard of those two great civilizations? You did, but that's because you studied it in your Bible class. I had not. Yeah, I have never heard of them. Never. But yet they say they existed. In fact, they say that the Incas, the Mexican tribes, came out of the Nephites and the Lamanites. So here's something. Here's the background of the two civilizations. The Jaredites were descendants from the Tower of Babel, and they were destroyed by God for their rebellion. So they don't exist any longer. They were wiped out. But then number two, the Nephites and the Lamanites were Jewish people that migrated from the Middle East to America around 600 B.C. They were the Indians. Now, my question is, how'd they get here? Yeah, I guess they all got in canoes and rowed your boat across the Atlantic, I guess.
They went around the other way, coming through Russia and the land.
Is that the way it was? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've got to spend on everything.
Yeah, that's what they
say. Yeah. The Nephites were commanded by Mormon. He is the one that gave the golden plants to his son, Moroni. The Nephites got into a battle with the Lamanites and killed them all. There was a big power struggle. The Nephites got into a battle with the Lamanites, wiped them out. No longer existed. That leads to number three. The Mormons claim that the Nephites are the ancestors to the American Indians. Now, here's my question that I have. Where is any proof? That's the only proof they have. That's it. That's the only proof they have is Joseph Smith wrote it. That's it. That's the only proof they have.
If you look at Native American Indians, they never practiced anything that's similar at all.
No, not at all. In fact, they practiced the complete opposite. So the Book of Mormon claims that there were 38 mighty cities built by the Nephites and the Jaredites. So here's a question. Where are or were they? Where? Now here's some arguments regarding the mighty cities that were claimed to have existed by the Book of Mormon. Only the Book of Mormon have these cities recorded. No other book has them ever recorded. Only the Book of Mormon has these cities recorded. Secondly, neither the National Geographic Society nor the Smithsonian Society, two of the most well-trusted archaeological things or organizations that are pretty trustworthy when it comes to ancient civilizations in North America, have no record of any of those civilizations at all. No Mormon cities have ever been located. Have there been ancient American Indian cities or things of that nature been found? Yes, there have, but they do not allude at all. And Mike brought up a great point. None of them make reference to anything from a Moroni or a Mormon or golden plates. Nothing of that nature.
Which is very unusual. They've done DNA on Indian, American Indians, and Jewish people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's exactly right. There's no relation at all.
No.
Yep, it's a great point. What did you start to say, Gerald?
I was going to say, you know, they have no documented proof, archaeological digs, and you go to Israel, and that's all you hear on the news.
Yeah.
Always, every time you turn around, they're finding something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dating back to the BC era.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The DNA is really fundamentally what shows that. They argued it so well a few years back, probably about 15 or 20 years back, that when DNA testing really came to the forefront and they started to really say that, Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it kind of was going in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so then people started using it. And that's because they were just so strong on the fact that American Indians were part of the tribe, mm-hmm. or part of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went through that, and they just, without a doubt, that just does not fly.
Yeah, it doesn't wash at all. Right. The let's go to the next point. Okay. Now, what language did Joseph Smith say was the golden plates? Yep. There is no Reformed Egyptian language even known to have existed. None. So when these Reformed Egyptian writings are reproduced, when they bring it up to archaeologists, they say that doesn't even exist. Okay, it doesn't even exist. The golden plates have never been found or even proven to exist.
Going back to the Reformed Egyptian language.
Uh-huh. Oh, because the Bible is based off of Hebrew, Greek, and Persian.
I think maybe he chose all these outlandish and crazy things to say, well, at least they won't be able to disprove
it. Yeah, because they can't find anything. That's exactly right. Yep.
And most people think that if you can't prove it, it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Yep. But yet, the Mormon Church claims the Book of Mormon to be inspired on equal footing as the Bible. Yeah. Now, Mormon theology goes beyond the Book of Mormon in that even though Joseph Smith claimed the Book of Mormon was the most complete book on earth, he added 13 key doctrines. And these are found in the Doctrine and Covenants. 13 key doctrines. Not going to go over all 13, just kind of bring out the most important ones. The plurality of gods, or polytheism. That is to where we all evolve into a god ourselves. Secondly, God as an exalted man. God as an exalted man. Thirdly, man's ability to become God. The 3 degrees of heaven. Polygamy. And eternal progression. Yes, Gary?
When you say become God,
mm-hmm.
what does that imply? I mean, is it a God or is it?
That you will become a God. That you will become a God. Yeah. You'll become a God. And then baptism for the dead.
Does that put you on an even plane with
yep.
God?
It does. It puts you on an even plane with God. Yeah. And then many prophecies that have never been fulfilled. So Joseph Smith violated one of the most important ones of the Old Testament in regarding prophets. And what was that? Uh-huh. And you're not to believe that. And what was supposed to happen to him? Yeah, they were going to be stoned to death. They were to be stoned to death. So, let's talk about the Pearl of Great Price. Pearl of Great Price, I'll get a load of this. Oh, you don't?
No.
That's up to three? All right, well, write it. Okay. Okay. This is where it's almost comical, folks. It's almost comical. The Pearl of Great Price was in part translated from some Egyptian papyri fragments, or papyrus. Papyrus, correct me if I'm wrong, Katie, but it was basically leaves that they would ride on, from the papyrus plant, and that's what they would use. That was their notebook paper back then. All right, they were purchased from a traveling lecturer. What kind of lecturer was this guy? Okay, keep going. You know what I thought of? I thought of the snake oil salesman, the medicine man on Andy Griffith, that was selling cough medicine. But it was liquor, and Aunt B got drunk off of it. That's what I pictured from this guy. Yeah. According to Smith, they were record of writings by Abraham while in Egypt. And thirdly, they were incorporated as canon by the LDS Church in 1880. Now, what do we mean by that term, canon? It's not the kind of canon you shoot stuff out of. Yeah. That they inspired words equivalent to the Bible. What? No.
I mean, what part of this is not, has he not exposed himself
to? I know.
I mean, because even if he had, if he used a King James Bible, we're attached to scripture. You know, God teaches us that for a reason.
Yeah.
So that we don't get caught up into these things like this right here. And yet he's, you know, I thought with many Mormons. And, you know, and just discuss some of these things, especially some of the prophecies.
Yeah, they are.
With no background in history and in science to document.
Yeah, there's nothing. Now, they did find some of this that they had thought was lost or destroyed. It appeared in 1967, but it was examined by Mormon and non-Mormon Egyptologists, which were experts in the Egyptian language, and they found that they were nothing more than Egyptian instructions of how to embalm a dead body. That was it. Now, this is what gets me. Mormon people are basing their soul on some documents, ancient documents that told people how to embalm a dead person. That's what they're basing their whole life upon. Their whole eternal life is upon that. In spite of overwhelming... How many of y'all would fall for this? I think even if I was lost, I don't think I'd fall for this. But in spite of overwhelming evidence of falsehood, would any of this stand true in a court of law? No, it wouldn't. It would not stand true in a court of law. But yet, the LDS Church states that Joseph Smith received word as a prophet. They take the word over a man over God's word, is what it boils down to. All right, there we're done. Questions, comments? Sorry. Morgan, can you bring... Oh, I can do it. Yep, I'll review it next week.